Right. We are on Daf Chof Ches Amad Aleph, and we are at the very last small line. Brava Omar. Let us just remind ourselves exactly where we're holding. So we had the following. The Mishnah said, "V'hayetzim min ha'etz eina mitama tumas ayalim ela pishtan." That the only thing which is able, which is subject to tumas oyel, which comes from a tree, is pishtan. Can I just say in advance that we are learning as a refuah shlema for Elchanan ben Miriam, Bertie Heckscher, who is a regular in our chabura, and also for David Chaim ben Felechano, Natan's father. They together with everyone else should have a refuah shlema. So we said that the only things which are subject to tumas oil, which come from a tree, is pishtan. And the Gemara said, "What's the source? Where do we learn this from?" We said we learn this from a gzeirah shava oihel oihel mimishkan. It says in the parsha of tumas oil, it says adam kiyamus b'oihel. It says the word oihel. And it says by Mishkan also the word Oihel, in which case we see that Pishtan is going to be subject to Tumas Oihel. The Gemara said, well, if so, why don't you say that wood is also subject to Tumas Oihel because there were Krashim in the Mishkan. And then the Gemara said, they're called Krashim, they're not called Mishkan. So the Gemara asked the Kashim, said, well, maybe the R should not be subject to Tumas Oihel, because it's also not technically called an Oihel. And that, the Gemara said right before the two dots, that we have another source which tells us that the hides, the Oireis, do have a shame Oihel, and therefore they will be subject to Tumas Oihel. Now, the Gemara mentioned a Shaila which Rabbi Elazar had. And Rabbi Elazar's shaila was Arbehim Mitzmeya Maushi Yitzma Tumas Oyalim. Do we say that not only, meaning the assumption is that to the extent that Rabbi Elazar is clearing a shaila of Arbehim Mitzmeya Maushi Yitzma Tumas Oyalim, so the assumption was that clearly the Arbehim Mitzahoyras is subject to Tumas Oyal. And his question was, what about Arbehim Mitzmeya? Is that also going to be subject to Tumas Oyal? So the Gemara asked the question on his question. And the Gemara asked the question and said, Malkam Yiboyle, what's your Shaila? I mean, we know that the source of Tumas Oyal, the source of telling us which types of things are subject to Tumas Oyal, it's learned from the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they only used Dvarim Tahirim, Tahar animals, hides and leather from animals which are Tahar. So what's the Shaila? So Rabbi Yosef said, the Gemara said, excuse me, Rabbi Abba Bar Abba said that his shaila was based on a lack of clarity as to what the tachash was. We know that the tachash was used, the hide of the tachash was used, and maybe the tachash was an Arbei Mitzmea. So that's what we wanted to know. Is it an Arbei Mitzmea? If so, we have a precedent, we have a source, that to the extent that the tachash was used as a covering for the Mishkan, and to the extent that we learn at this Gzeres Shava, Oyel, Oyel, Adam Kiyamos Ba'oyel, from Mishkan, and if they used the tapestry, the hides of the tachash, and maybe it was a Behemet Tzmeya, if so, we have a source in Halacha to tell me that our Behemet Tzmeya is subject to Tumas Oyel. So that is the crux of Rabbi Elazar's Shaila. And that came along Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef said, I still don't hear your Shaila. It must be that the Tachash was a Behemah Tahira. Why? Because we have a Braisa. And the Braisa seems to say categorically, Lehuchshu leMelech Shemayim elaor Behemah Tahira bilvad, that the only thing which is used for Melech Shemayim, which we think refers to anything and everything to do with Melech Shemayim, is our Behemah Tahira bilvad, and therefore it must be that the Tachash was a Behemah Tahira. In which case, again, I don't understand what Rabbi Elazar was, what his Shaila was. And then the Gemara asked the Kasha from a Braisa, which we thought in the Havamina, the Braisa is telling us that one of the coverings was made from some type of a leopard, which is a Behemoth Tamea. On that, the Gemara said, no, it wasn't actually made of a leopard, of a Tala Elon, but it just resembled a Tala Elon. That's what the Gemara said. Fine. So, that's what we're holding. We're holding now by Rava. The first word in the last small line. Says the Gemara, Rava Amar Ar Behemoth Tamea Dimitama Ba'ayil Ameis Mehacha. Meaning, we are contemplating back and forth, is the R, is the hide of a Behemoth Tamea subject to Tumas Oyel? We have a clear source from the following Bryce, the Tanya. It says, R, Oyba R, Riva. Meaning, what does the Pasuk say? It says, Oyba Shasi, Oyba Erev, La Pishtim, Vela Tsemer, Oyba R, Oyba Chol Melechus R. So this is a Pasuk by Tumas Negoyim, and it says from the word Oibar, Riba Ar Behemoth Tamea, that it's coming to be Marbe, the skin, the hide of a Behemoth Tamea. That's one thing it's being Marbe. A second thing it's being Marbe is Vishalaka Biad Kohen, that if a person gives something to the Kohen and it subsequently develops some type of a Nega in the presence, in the domain of the Kohen, it's also going to be Tamei. And the Braisa continues, it's not Senegir to us, the Braisa continues, Katsats Mikulin V'asa Achas Mehen Menayin. What happens if you cut little bits of all of the things mentioned in the Pasuk, Pishtim, Tzemer, Ar, and so on? How do you know that that's also Tamei? Tamad Leimer, Oibachol Malachas Ar, and so on. But the point is, what is Rav saying? You have a suffix as to whether or not Ar Behemoth Tamei is subject to Tumas Oyel. I can prove to you from this Braisa. The Braisa says, Oiba Ar, and it's coming to be Marbe, Ar Behemoth Tamea. So we have a fantastic proof. Ar Behemoth Tamea is going to be included. Now, the obvious problem is that we are trying to understand whether or not Ar Behemoth Tamea is Mitame Be'oyel, in Tumas Oyel, in Oyel Hames. And you're bringing me a proof from Tumas Negoyim. So says the Gemara, one second, Ikele Mifruch. You can't bring a raya from Negoyim. Mala Negoyim, Negoyim is very chamor. Shekein Shesli Ve'eru Tama Ben. It has its distinct, unique chumrah, that even the Shesli and Eru strings are Tamei. So you cannot bring a raya that just because the Torah says that there's Tuma, this Tuma by Negoyim, by Arbe Mitzmea, Lav Dafka, that would carry through to Tuma soil. Says the Gemara, you're right, Ela Garma Mishrotzim. So let's learn out from Shrotzim. The Tanya are Ainli Ela Arbe Matahira. Meaning, if a sheretz, a dead sheretz, touches the hide of a Behemoth Tahira, touches regular leather, it's going to be Matamit. Arbe Matamea Menayin, then it's also going to become Tamei, Tamad Lamer, Oiba Ar. So I'll learn out from Shrotzim to Tuma Soil. Vaitufreg the Gemara Iglamifrach. There's a pirch on that. Meaning Shrotzim has its distinct chumrah. Malu Shrotzim Shekein Metamein Bechadosha. It has a chumrah that it's metame even the size of a adosha, of a lentil. And that's a chumrah vis-a-vis Tumas Meis. Tumas Meis, you need to have the shear of a kizayis. So how can you prove the kitzer? You cannot learn Tumas Oyel from Negoyim, because Negoyim has its Chumrah. You cannot learn Tumas Oyel from Sheretz, because Sheretz has its Chumrah. What do you want to tell me? That Adosh is not a Chumrah, because Negoyim Yechichu. And we'll say, the Chazradin, Loi Rizek Rizah, Valei Rizek Rizah, each of the Chumrahs is unlike the other one, and nevertheless, Hatzad Shavah Shebehen, what's common about both Shrotzim and Negoyim is She'ar Tamei Behen, She'ar Tamei Behen, Ve'asa Ar Behemoth Tamea Ka'ar Behemoth Tahira, meaning hides are Tamei, both, they're subject to Tumah, both by Shrotzim and by Negoyim, and you see the Torah equates by both of those dinim, both by Negoyim and by Shratzim, asa arba hemetzmea ka arba hemetzaira. If so, le'inyanena, that we're discussing, tumas oyel, afani avi, oyel hameis sh'or tami boy, v'nasa boy arba hemetzmea ka arba hemetzaira. So let's just summarize what we've said. Rava says, I'll tell you the source that arba hemetzmea is tami. Is Tomei by Oil HaMeis. Rava says that we learn out from Negoyim. Says the Gemara, you count on out from Negoyim, it's got its Chumra, that Shesti and Erev is Tomei. Okay, I'll learn out from Sheretz, you count on out from Sheretz, because it's got its Chumra, that it's Metame Bekadosha. Says the Gemara, okay, so I'll learn out from Etzad the Shava of both of them. Clearly, you cannot say that the Chumra of Shesti, the Erev, is the Iker, because I can disprove that from Sheretz. Clearly, you cannot tell me Kadosha is the Chumra, which makes Tuma by Arbe Mitzmeah, because I'll disprove that from Negoyim. Elamai, the Tzad HaShavah is that hide is subject to Tuma by Sheretz and by Negoyim, and the Torah equates Behe Mitzmeah with Behe Mitzahira. If so, the same will apply to Tumas oil. Armale Rava mi Barnish Rav Ashi. No, the Tzad HaShavah is flawed. You cannot learn from the Tzad HaShavah too. Oil to Tumas oil. Igalamif Rav Mala Tzad HaShavah Shebehen Shekin Tmein Bepachas Mikizayis. Meaning both of the respective stringencies by Tumas Negoyim and Tumas Sheretz, they share a common facet in that both of them are Tamei less than a Kizayis. Tumer B'meis Sheina Metamei Yala B'Kizayis, as opposed to when it comes to Tumas Meis, its tuma is only with the shir kezayis. So both of them have a chumra over and above tumas ayel, in which case you, Rava, cannot learn out from a tzad HaShavah from negayim and sheretz. So we are still holding by, we don't have a clear source that arbe mitmea is subject to tumas ayel. Says the Gemara, Alamar Rava mi Barnish. It says Rava mi Barnish. Asya mi Kal V'Chomer mi Notza Shel Izim. We're going to learn out from a Kal V'Chomer of Notza Shel Izim. What's this Kal V'Chomer going to be? Meaning that you have the fleece of the goats. And we'll say the following. Asya mi Kal V'Chomer mi Notza Shel Izim. She'ein metame b'negoyim. Mitama ba'el ha-meis, the notza shel izim is kal, in that it's not mitama b'negoyim, and it's mitama ba'el ha-meis, or be'i mitzmeah, she mitama b'negoyim, ain't a din she mitama ba'el ha-meis. So if the or of be'i mitzmeah is mitama b'negoyim, for sure it should be mitama ba'el ha-meis. If so, we have a proof, we have a raya, that Arbe Mitzmeah is subject to Tumas Oil. So says the Gemara, V'lahodetanyer Yosef lehuchshu lemenachas shamayim ala Arbe Mitzahira bovad lemay hilchasa. So if that is true, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says in the last big line, four lines down, V'lahodetanyer Yosef, meaning kevin the rabbinin Arbe Mitzmeah la'ayil ha-meis, meaning once you've proven and you've been marbe it from a kal v'chomer from netzah shel izim. So how did Tani Rabbi Yosef, when Rabbi Yosef said lo hukshuru lemelech shemayim ala arbe hemetzer bilvad lemay hilchasa? Rashi says maya dahava hava. What are you coming to tell me? You're coming to tell me what was used in the Mishkan and there's zero practical ramification. Doesn't make sense. Meaning the logic is like this. If the Braisa says, so in essence, it would be coming to teach me that Arbehemetzmeah is not going to be subject to Tumas Oil. So very nice. Meaning it's not just that the Gemara is telling me an interesting historical tidbit that but it's telling me, Lederi Deris, that Arbehemet Tamei is not going to be subject to Tumas Oil. But now that you're telling me that Arbehemet Tamei is going to be subject to Tumas Oil, because you're learning out from a Kal V'Chomer of Netzah Shel Izim, so what the Brice is just telling me, what was done in the Mishkan, a little fascinating bit of history. Why is that relevant? Says Rashi, Maida Hava Hava. What's it, who cares? That which was. Ilav lemelev minei tuma, unless it's coming to tell me something practical for future generations. But now that you're telling me that Arbei Mitzmeh is subject to Tumas Oyal, so says the Gemara, Elaha detan Rabbi Yosef lehochshlam nachas shemayim el Arbei Mitzmeh tahar bavad lemay hilchasa. So what was that coming to teach me? Says the Gemara, I'll tell you what it's coming to teach me. It wasn't coming to teach me things about the Mishkan. You're right. It wasn't coming to tell me about the Mishkan. It was coming to teach me tefillin. Says Rashi, "Letefillin itmar dehinami meleches shomayim." Meaning the Gemara now, I mean, a thought that when we speak about meleches shomayim, we're speaking about Mishkan and so on, and therefore we're coming to say that there's no way that anything tame was used in any of the coverings of the Mishkan, which have a shame oyel, which is going to be the source, which is going to be the limud to tell me tumas oyel laderi deres. And we thought originally to say, therefore, our behemoth tame is not subject to tumas oyel, and so on. And that's what he's coming to teach. But now that Rav Mi Barnish has said that we learn that our behemoth tame is subject to tumas oyel, because we're learning out from a Kal Vachomer, so what was Rabbi Yosef coming to say in his Braisa that he quoted, that Lo Yehuchshlu LaMelech HaShemayim Ela Arbeim Etzer Bilvad? What was he coming to say? Says the Gemara, he's coming to tell me a totally different din, which is very practical, the Deridoris. He was coming to tell me that tefillin have to be constructed from our Behema Tahira. On that, asks the Gemara, one second, if that's what the blood rice is coming to say, tefillin me'ediksibu, leman tia teras Hashem b'ficha. When it speaks about the reason why we wear tefillin, it says, so that teras Hashem should be in your mouth. And that's an interesting way of describing it, should be in your mouth. The Gemara darshims, what does that teach me? Min hamutter b'ficha. Only, for you can only write on the parshias from an animal which, in theory, you are allowed to eat. Min hamutter b'ficha. In which case, I already see that behema tmeya is excluded from writing. You cannot write on the parchment which is made from a behema tmeya, because it's lacking in min hamutter b'ficha. So I don't need Rabbi Yosef's braisa, lehuchshul amalach shemayim ala ar behema tmeya b'lvad, to tell me that don't write parshias on hides, on cloth made from an arbeim mitzmeh, because it's mafurish. Says the Gemara, you're right. But it's still speaking about tefillin, not the parashias, not the cloth, el oiron, but rather the batim. That's what it's saying. The batim needs to be made from a behema tahira. Look at Rashi, la oiron ard fushalahen shahaksavim shal parashias munachim boy. They are placed inside the batim. The high loyma lamantia nafki. You cannot learn out to exclude the Behemoth Tmeah from that. The halav Torah ksiva bey. Because lamantia Torah Hashem is that which you write Torah on, that which you write the parashas on. Elamai, the brace of Rabbi Yosef, which says, Lehochshu lamelech shemayim ala arbeim etzer bilvad, is saying, make sure that the batim are made from, make sure that the batim are made from an or of a behema tahira. Frag the Gemara, I don't need that either. You know why? What the Gemara is going to say now is that the batim have the same status as the cloth itself. Meaning, to the extent that you use, that you write a shin on the tefillin shel roish, so it's considered that you're writing on the batim also. And I've just taught you that you can only write on our behema tahira, because it says min amuter b'ficha, and the batim, it's also considered that you're writing on it insofar as there are oisyeis on the batim. Says the Gemara, meaning, says Rashi, shin shel tefillin, shin shel tefillin, Rashi says, she'ehi ha'ar nikmat mibachutz, meaning the leather the hide, it's going to be wrinkled, it's going to be compressed from the outside. Gimel kmatim, three wrinkles, meaning the domel shin in the form of a shin. The haritsua niksheris kemin dalet, and the ritsua is also going to be tied in the form of a dalet. The yesh ritsua kfufa kemin yud, the hainu shakai, the kaven. This is the kasha. The kaven de ois Hashem. Nicht of Bikmatim Shaloi, being that one of the letters of Hashem's name is written by the way you manipulate the outer batim, Mutter Beficha Beinon, Omikron Nafik, and therefore it's learned from the Pasik. So weiter fragt the Gemara, I don't need Rabbi Yosef's Braisa to tell me that the batim needs to be made from Ar Behema Tahira, because the batim is a form of ksiva insofar as the shin on the tefillin shel roish is written on it. Asks Rabbi Kivager, a fairly obvious question in the Gilyan Hashas over here, Kashali. Ha yesh loyimar la'ar shel tefillah shel yad. Okay, so on the tefillin shel yad, there's no letters which are fashioned from the batim. So maybe that's what you need, Rabbi Yosef's brace of lehuch shulam nechashemayim la'ar behema tahara bulvad. So on that, the Achronim say an answer, that once the Torah was megale, that the batim of the tefillin shel roish is shaykh to the din of min hamutar b'ficha, it's misaber to say that hu adinami, the bias of the tefillin shel yad has the same din. Fine, that's what some want to say on this kasha of Rabbi Kivager. Al kaponim, where are we holding? We are still trying to understand and to justify what was Rabbi Yosef's price of teaching us. Lehoch shulam lecha shamayim ala ordeim a terrible vat. What's it needed for? To tell me the parishes of tefillin, that's mafurish from min hamutar b'ficha. To tell me the batim is also included in min hamutar b'ficha to the extent that you need to that you need to write the shin on the tefillin shel roish. Says the Gemara, where are we holding? Ella lekorchan b'saran ulatoifran begidin. It's referring to that when they would roll up the parshias in the tefillin, they would tie the parshias up with cyrus, with hair, ulatoifran, and when they would connect the parshias, they would do it with gidin. Those need to be done from an animal which is tahar. That's what it's referring to. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Elul nichrachis b'sairin tanya lahidr b'yosef shetzarech likshor igreis ha-parshis b'sar arbeim ha-tahira. You need to tie up the parshis with a string of an arbeim ha-tahira or a tefran, and when you sew them together, begid beim ha-tahira. That's what it's coming to teach me. Says the Gemara, Hanami Allah Chomesh Misinayu. That's also learned from Allah Chomesh Misinay, the Tanya. Tefillin Merubais. That the tefillin needs to be square. Allah Chomesh Misinay. Nechrachis Bisaron Vinitpareis Begidun. And it's and I include in this Allah Chomesh Misinay is that it needs to be tied up with Cyrus, and it needs to be nitfar with Gidun. It doesn't actually mention explicitly from the Behema Tahira, but I guess we're saying, presumably, that was included in the Halacha Meshmi Sinai. Says the Gemara, so Vaito, what am I? I'm still holding by my Kasha. What is the Brace of Rabbi Yosef? Lehoch Shalom Echshemayim Alevar Behema Tahira Belvad coming to teach me? Ela L'Ritzuais. The Ritzuais, the straps of the tefillin, need to be from the Behema Tahira. Frag the Gemara, V'Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ritzuais Chayreis Halacha Meshmi Sinai. But we learn the details of the Ritzuais also from a Halacha Meshmi Sinai. If you look at Rashi, Dibra Mascha Halacha Meshmi Sinai, Rashi says, V'Kevan, Tehilchasa, Ritzuais Misinai, Tahirais, Nami Halacha Meshmi Sinai. We can assume that they need to be Torahs is also included in a halacha mishmi Sinai. Umas, they said the Rabbi Yosef lav halacha mishmisinai ka omar, and Rabbi Yosef didn't say this is halacha mishmisinai. He just said this is a teaching of the Braisa. Says the Gemara now, nehi the gemiri shchayrois tahayrois mi gemiri. So he says no. Granted that we learn from halacha mishmisinai that it needs to be black, but we do not, in fact, know that it needs to be from a ar behema tahayra. Meaning to say, what comes out is a fascinating thing. Without the teaching of this braisa of lehuch shlemach shemayim el arbei meter belvad, you might have thought that you can make ritzuos from a camel, from a chazir, from a behemoth tameo, but make sure alachum mishmi sina that they're black. Comes along the price of Rabbi Yosef, that the ritzuos themselves need to have come from an animal which is kosher, from a behemoth tahira. That's where we're holding. Fine, so now the Gemara says, my have Allah the tachash. If you look at Rashi, my have Allah the tachash. Hoyo Rabbi Yosef lav l'inyan malacha de mishkan itmar, being that Rabbi Yosef's price now we've established, it was not coming to teach us anything about malachas hamishkan. Because remember, we learned out from Rav Mi Barnish that you're actually allowed to use that arbei mitzmeya is included in tumas oyel. So it wasn't coming to teach me anything about Mishkan, Rabbi Yosef's statement. Lo yifshid bayin. So was the tachash a behemoth tahira, or was it a behemoth tmeya? It's a little bit difficult in that, like, why don't we now say, who cares, my dehava havo? I saw the Mefarshim ask this question, that it seems to be that with regards to the protim of the Mishkan, we do want to know what things were made of, even though it comes out now at this stage that there is no nafkamina, if the tachash was a behemoth tahira or a behemoth tmeya. Even if it was a behemoth tahira, we've still learned from the Rav Mi Barnish's Kal Vachomer that behemoth tmeya is included in Tumas Oyel. But nevertheless, we still want to know what the tachash was. Maybe, I don't know, maybe more al derech drush, because we know everything included in the Mishkan is a microcosm of the Priya, and there's some other nafkamina as to whether or not the tachash was a behemoth tahira or a behemoth tmeya. I don't know. Al-Kapanim, the Gemara says, may have yalot the tachash. So was it tahar or was it tame? May have yalot the tachash. May have yalot the tachash. I've been made Maisha. I'm Rabbi Law. I'm Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Omer Haya Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir used to say, Tachash Haya Bimei Moshe Beria Bifnei Atzmei Haya. It was its own special, unique creature. V'lo Yichriya Ba Chachamim Im Min Chayu Im Min Behemoh. And Chazal went up Machriya. Number one, is it a Chaya or is it a Behemoh? That is one suffix which the Chachamim had. One suffix. The second thing is, im min chayahu, im min behemo, whether it's a chaya, or is it a behemo? Two sfeikas which they had. The keren achas, hoysalei b'mitzchoy. But one thing we know about it had one single horn on its forehead. Ulefishon nizdam le demesha. And it was a one-off creature, which was there, and it was available for Moshe Benu to use, the Asim Imenu Mishkan, and he used it for one of the coverings, one of the coverings of the Mishkan. Good. The Nignas, and it was subsequently went into Kinesis. The Gemara wants to prove from this, from the fact that this creature had one single horn, Shmamina Tarhaya. It must be that it was a Tahar creature. How do I know that? The Amr of Yudah, Shar Shekriv Adam Arishin, the Shar which Adam was Makriv, Keren Achas Hoysaloy Bemitzchay. It had one horn on its Metzach. How do I know that? Shenem, the Pasuk says, Visita Lashem, Mishor par makrim afris. It mentions how it will be good to Hashem, even better than a shor par makrim afris. And it's the way makrin is spelt is without a yud, which implies that it had one single keren. If so, we see that the shor, which Adam was makriv, which was clearly a behemoth tahira, had one single horn, and therefore it's mistaber to say that the tachash also had, the tachash which had one single horn, is a min behemoth tahira. Rabbi Gamai, how can you say that? Makrin, the way we read the word, the pasuk is makrin, as if a yud is written there, which is tarti mashma, which implies this animal which Adam was makriv had two horns, in which case you have no raya to the tachash which had one horn. Amrav Nachum by Yitzchak, makran ksiv. The ksiv is chaser, it's without a yud, and therefore we can learn out the tachash from it, and therefore we can imply that it was a behemoth tahira. Says the Gemara, if so, v'lifshet minei d'min behemahu. So why don't you also prove that it's a min behema, not a chaya? And now we say, given deika keresh, demin chayahu, velesli ela chadekaren, being there's another creature, which is mentioned in Maseches Chulin, when it speaks about the behemoth tahiris and the behemoth tmeis, it mentions a keresh, which is a type of chaya. It's a wild animal, not a domesticated animal. And it too also has only one horn, ikalamemar, min chayahu. So it could be that the tachash is in fact a chaya, not a behemoth. Again, as we mentioned, not so clear exactly why it's so important for us to know if there's no halachic nafkamina, if the tachash was tahar or tamei, and if it was a behemoth or a chaya, but al kaponim, that's what the Gemara is doing. So, bekitzer, ma olav yadeno. We've said over here that there is two mas.
But it must have been a kosher animal, because everyone agreed that it was a horned animal. It was a kosher animal.
Correct.
Correct.
So we're definitely saying that it was a kosher animal, because we're comparing it to the animal which Adam Rishon was makriv. So that we know for a fact. But what is still unclear, the maskana, is if it's a chaya or a behemoth. That is still outstanding. That we still don't know. So, ma'al of yadenu, bottom line, we've said that kol yodz min ha'etz eina matamat tumas oyalim ala pishkan, and we've said, because they're all, we've learned out tumas oyal from the Gzera Shava of Zesatera Adam Yamas for Oyal, and it says by Mishkan the word Oyal, and therefore we include their Pishkan, and we also said that we include Oyrois, they're also included. We had this this suffix of Rebbe Lazar, Arbeim Itzmeah, Maoshi Itzma Betumas Oyal. We proved from a Kalvachemer, from Rava Mibanish's Kalvachemer, that Lamaskana, Arbeim Itzmeah, is subject to Tumas Oyal. And at the end of the day, the Brisa of Rabbi Yosef, which said "Leihuchshulam lecha shemayim ala arbehema tahir bilvad," is coming to tell me a prat in Hilchas Tfilin, lemaskana the din, and that the ritzuos of Tfilin need to come from a behema tahir. Good, says the Mishnah Vayta. Psilus habeged shekifla v'leihivava. So you have. Basically, what you have over here is the following. You have a little piece of cloth. Let's say you have a piece, so you have a linen garment. And what do? You wrap it up, and you make it into a wick. Important to mention, you cannot do this on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because you cannot make, you're not allowed to roll a psila into a psila on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So you obviously do this before Shabbos. And the question is, if you have a garment and you roll it up into a wick, do we now say that when you roll it up, it is no longer considered to be a beged? So for instance, if it's no longer a beged, it will not be subject to various dinei tuma of begadim. For instance, we said that gimel etzbois al gimel etzbois is the minimum shear for a beged of tzemer and pishtim, we saw. But now, let's say you have a little piece of pishtan, it was 3x3, and now you roll it up and you fashion a wick. So do we say, okay, it's a wick now. It's not a beged anymore. So says the Mishnah, Psilas a beged shekifla, you are mekapalit, v'loy hivava, you have not yet singed it. Rabbi Eliezer, Oyemer, two dinim. Says Rabbi Eliezer, two things. Number one, tmeya hi. Now when we say tmeya, we don't mean that it's tmeya right now. We mean it's subject to the potential of becoming tummy. It's a bar kabbalah's tuma. Pirish, pashak shat would mean, the way we're explaining it, is that it's still considered to be a beget. Meaning it's gimel al gimel. Mali, that you rolled it up into a wick, it's still a piece of pishtan, which is 3x3, and it has not yet lost its shame and beget. So that's one din, tmehi, that it's a bar kabbalah's tuma. And there's a second din, which is quite possibly totally unrelated, the madlikin ba, and you're not allowed to be madlik it. For some reason, you cannot use this as a wick. We'll see why. Rabbi Kiva disagrees on both points. Rabbi Kiva, Aymer, Tahirahi, it's Tahira. Number two, madlikin ba, and you can be madlik with it. Let's see the Rashi, Tmehi on the Mishnah. So again, this is going in Rabbi Eliezer. Tmehi, de beged klihu, umakabal tuma, imhayashala shal shalish, de kipul ein mevakla miteris beged, hayovalei hivava. The fact that you merely roll it up into a wick, that is insufficient to be mevatal the shame beged. You didn't singe it. It's still considered to be a piece of cloth. It's got the requisite shear of gimel al gimel, and therefore it's a bar kabbalah's tumah. And that was one din. And then there was another din, a madlikin bak in the first time of the Gemara. We'll see why. So, bekitzer, you've got a beged, you roll it up, you don't singe it. Rebbe Lezer says there's two dinim. Din number one is it's still a bar kabbalah's tumah. Din number two, you don't use it for a wick. And Rebbe Kiva disagrees on both points. Says the Gemara, Bishleim ala inyan tuma b'ha pligi. The Rebbe Eliezer sabar kipul eina moyo. Ube milsa kamaisa kaima. Kipul doesn't help, doesn't do anything. And therefore, it's in its original state. The Rebbe Kiva sabar kipul moyo. Ube tuli bato. The kipul does help. And therefore, it's no longer considered to be a beged anymore. El inyan hadlaka b'may pligi. What exactly is the nekudas hamachlokes as to whether you can or cannot light with it? Meaning, and the difficulty, the koshi is, I mean, surely the din of whether you can light with a psila should ultimately only be based on, is it a good wick? Does it draw the shemen into it to produce a good steady flame? Or not. If it doesn't produce a steady flame, then we understand why it's going to be apostle. What is the machlekes here in the mitzias as to whether or not if you have a wick, which you don't singe, whether or not it lights well or not? That's not a very geshmaka machlekes. So what exactly is the machlekes legabi hadlaka, elenin hadlaka, but my plegi? Says the Gemara, Amr belazer, Amr beisha, v'chein Amr vada bar ava, we're going to make a very intricate ukimta to explain the machlokes legabi hadlaka. And we're going to say the following. Hacha begimel al gimel mitzum samay saskinen. The first factor we're going to say over here is that the ukimta is you've got a piece of cloth which is exactly gimel al gimel etzbos. Exactly. Number one. Number two, ubi yomtiv shechali yisav shabbos saskinen. When you're lighting on Friday, it's not just a regular Friday, it's a Yom Tov. The Friday is a Yom Tov. So Yom Tov fell on an Erev Shabbos. So it's those two things we're going to make an Ukimta for our Mishnah. A third thing which we're going to say is, Udu Kuliyama Islud Rabbi Yehuda, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva hold of Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Mesikin Bekalim, the Ein Mesikin Beshivrei Kalim. Let me just explain this outside. Imagine, if you will, it's Yom Tov, and it's cold. It's a cold Sukkos evening, and you need to add fuel to the fire. So, are you allowed to pick up an old chair? It's still a chair, you can still sit in it, but you want to pick up the chair and burn it on Yom Tov to fuel your fire. We say, yes, you're allowed to do that. There's no problem. The chair is not muktzah. I'm allowed to pick it up. I can take it and carry it over to the fireplace, and I can put it in the fireplace. No problem. To the extent that it's not muktzah, I can pick it up, and I'm allowed to put it in my fire, and I'm allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. No problem. But imagine, if you will, someone sits on the chair on Yom Tov and breaks the chair. Now I've got a bunch of broken legs and a broken seat. So I think to myself, you know what? This is useless. I might as well take it and fuel my fire. That you cannot do. Why can't you do it? Because you've got a technical problem. It became muktzah on Yom Tov. It was noilad. It was noilad that there's some new change to this item. Originally, when Yom Tov came in, it was a chair. Now it's just a shevra kli. I'm not able to pick up the shvarim on Yom Tov because of the muktzah restriction. So one more time, back in the Gemara. We said that the Kuli Alma is with Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone holds a Rabbi Yehuda, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva hold a Rabbi Yehuda.
Are you still changing, even though the form of the chair is there, but you're still changing the use of it?
You're right, you're changing the use of it, but nevertheless, we'll see Rashi in a second, but Rashi says to the extent that you're allowed to pick it up, you're allowed to pop it in the fire. That you can do. I mean, I'm allowed to burn things on Yom Tov. As long as it's a bar tiltal, I'm okay. But we'll see Rashi in a second. The Kuli Alma Islu Dribuda, the Amar Mesikin Vekalim, they Mesikin Veshivri Kalim. You can be Masik with Kalim and not with Shivri Kalim. Ude Kuli Alma Islu de Ula. And we have a fourth point which we're using to set up our machlekes. Everyone holds of Ula. The Amar Ula. Hamadlik tzarech sheyadlik b'roiv hayotze. Meaning, imagine if you will, let's say this is my ner over here. Remember we said the ner is the actual keli, the receptacle, and often there's a lid on top, and you've got the wick, the psila, which sticks out. So how much of the psila do you need to light? You need to light the majority of the wick. Hamadlik tzarech sheyadlik b'roiv hayotze. So let's just, before we see the Gemara and before we see the Rashi, let's just review the four things which we've said. We've said over here that case number, we're discussing a piece of cloth which is exactly gimel etzbois, number one. Number two, it's a Friday, which also happens to be a Yom Tov. Number three, if you have something which became muktzah, you're not able to pick it up and light it on Yom Tov. And number four, we've said you have to light the majority of the wick. So, let's just see a couple of Rashi's first. Rashi says, Mitzum Samais.
What does it mean, light the majority? You've got to hold your flame there till most of the wick is burning?
Yeah, you have to light them exactly. The majority which sticks out needs to be lit. It's insufficient to just light a little bit of it. Exactly. Let's see a couple of Rashi's before we plug this into the actual Machlekes Tanayim. Rashi says, Mitzum Tzamos, second Rashi in the Gemara, Dihavi Tvei Purta, Lekuli Alma Madlikin. This whole Machlekes is only going to work to the extent that we're saying you've got a piece of cloth which is exactly 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois. Once it's bigger, then this Cheshbon will not work, and we'll see why in a minute. And we said in the second point, Yom Tov Shechali is Be'er Shabbos. The Shaykh is a Muktzah Skina. We need to set up the case where there is a potential Muktzah problem on the Friday itself. How are we going to do that? Because Friday is Yom Tov. Then we also said, E Mesikim Meshivri Kalim, meaning Shnishbru Bobayim, which broke today on Yom Tov. The Havalu Neilad, Avo Bekalim is Masikin. You're allowed to pick up a chair and throw it in the fire. The Chazu L'Taltalin, it's a bar tiltal. No problem, you can pick it up. And finally we said, Uda Kuli Alma Islu, everyone holds that Tzorech Hamadlik, Lahadlik Biyodayim, Koitim Silig Yodov, before you pull back and withdraw your hand, Reva Yetzim and Apsila, the majority which comes out of the wick, Chutz L'Ner. Remember we said the Ner is the receptacle, Psila comes out, you need to light the majority. Now, Hilkach, Al karchach tzarech lasik boy la'acha shenifchas mishalish. Hey, we'll just speak it out before we see the Rashi. So imagine, if you will, the wick is sticking out of the nair. The wick, we said, is exactly gimel etzbos al gimel etzbos. And that is the minimum shear to be a viable keli. Because we said in the previous sugya that it's chazi laniyim, to be used as a patch. Now, once I light a significant part of it, which I have to do, I have rendered it pachas migimel. Once it's pachas migimel, it's now going to be considered to be a shever kli. Oh, it's a shever kli. Now I'm being oisik with a shever kli on Yom Tov. That's not so posh to do. So let's take a look.
Moving it.
Say again?
You're not moving it, not tilting, you're just holding a flame to it.
Okay, good. Good. Let's see Rashi. Says Rashi, Hilkach. Time of the Rabbi Eliezer, the Osak, Sover Kipol Einoi Moyol. Meaning that when I merely roll up my wick, that is insufficient. I still look at it with my beged spectacles, and I say, this is a keli, this is a viable beged, it's gimel al gimel. Kipol eina moil, v'havile kli, shenishbar b'yomtuv, v'chi komadlik b'purta, and therefore when I start to light even a small amount, kaven de mitzum tzomais hayu, being that it's exact, have a shivri keli, it becomes a shivri kli, the pachas mishalish lav klihu, v'havile kli shenishbar b'yomtuv, and I think this is where Rash is addressing your point, v'chi kamadlik biyodayim lahashlim rev hayotze b'shever kli kamadlik. I think in that line, I'm not exactly sure the Hesber, but I think Rashi, that's what the word biodayim is doing. Rashi says, and when you are madlik biodayim, that is a problem. Madlik biodayim lahashlim reva yoitze b'sheva kli kamadlik. So even though you may not be moving it as such, that's still considered to be a problem, that you're not able to be madlik b'sheva with a sheva kli. That's considered that I have an asik with mukta. I mean, I think that's what Rashi's doing, but I do hear the problem.
And also, there doesn't seem to be a problem of making something leila. According to this, you could take the shever and break it up and make it into pieces. You're making this key into a shever key. You're being made it.
Right.
Doesn't seem to be a problem, does it?
Right, correct. And Rashi continues. And Rashi says, V'hodam meinin mesikin mekeilin, Dafkashla Yiga Boy Achar Shinifchas. So this din of being masik bekalim is only so long as you're not touching it once it's nifchas. Elim kein ribol of eitzim muchanim kidlakaman, unless you add additional eitzim onto it, like we're going to see later on. So it seems to be that somehow when I'm lighting it, that's considered that I'm touching it, or I'm being oisik with it, and therefore that is going to be problematic. So again, we're saying we would like to understand what is the machlokes Reb Lezer and Reb Akiva. Reb Lezer says you cannot light this. Reb Akiva says you can light with it. So we say there's four givens over here. The first given is, like we say, that it's discussing exactly gimel etzbos. Number two, it's a Friday, which is a Yom Tov. Number three, everyone says you cannot be masik with shivrei kelim. And number four, you need to light, which probably means you're going to be involved and you're going to be touching and so on. Roiv hayotze, says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, kipol eino moyel. So when I'm a kapel, when I twist it and make it into a wick, that doesn't help, and it remains a keli. The cave into adlig be purton, and since I light a little bit, havile shever kli, v'chika madlik b'shever kli ka madlik, and that's now cold, and I'm being madlik a shever kli, which is problematic. Rebbe Kiva Savar, kipol moyel, nein. As soon as I twist it, and I fashion it into a wick, it's no longer a beged. V'ein teiras kli alav, v'chika madlik be'etz ba'alma ka madlik. Now it's considered to be just a regular wick. A regular splint, a regular piece of wood, no problem whatsoever. So again, let's read the Mishnah one more time. Psilas habeged shekipla v'lehivava Rebbe Eliezer Omer Tmeahi, meaning Rebbe Eliezer says the kipol does not help to be mafkia the Teras Shem Beged, and therefore it's still subject to Kabbalah's Tuma, number one. The Ein Madlikin Ba, again, it's Rabbi Eliezer Lishitosei, who says that Kippul does not help, in which case, as soon as I light it, I've rendered it a Shevra Kli, and therefore there's a Muktzah implication, and therefore I'm being Madlik with a Shevra Kli, I'm not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. In which case, the din in the Mishnah has got nothing to do with the quality of the wick. It's a Muktzah Dika din that I'm not allowed to be Madlik with a Shevra Kli on Yom Tov. Whereas Rabbi Giva says you can be Madlik, because as soon as you fashion it into a wick, it's no longer a Beged, and therefore it's got nothing, and I made it into a psila before Yom Tov, Rashi says, because you're not allowed to be Mekapal on Yom Tov, that you cannot do, and therefore I no longer look at this as a Beged, and therefore I'm allowed to be Madlik. Says the Gemara, very Gishmak, Am Rabbi Yosef, Hainu de Tanina, Gimel al Gimel Mitzimtzamais, V'lo Yodan Olamai Hilchasa. Says Rabbi Yosef, now I understand what my Rebbe has taught me. My Rebbe has taught me on this sugya about this Mishnah. They said, Rabbi Yosef, you should know the Mishnah is speaking about Gimel et Spais al Gimel et Spais. Ad Kan. And I never understood what was the relevance of this teaching. But now, based on the way Rav Adi Bar Av explained that it's Gimel al Gimel et Spais mitzimtzamais, and you're madlik it, and now you make it into a Shevra Kli, now I understand the relevance. If you look at Rashi for his big line, I know the Tanina Shaiisi Shayna Mirabais Mishnah Gimel Gimel Mitzimtzamais. That's what they taught me. Malayhavi Yodan Lamai Yochasi Itzmar. And I didn't understand its relevance. The Ila Inyan Tmuye, if it has to do with it becoming Tame, Kolshagain the Ika Tfeim Timitame. All the more so if it's more than Gimel, it's going to be Tamei. So now, based on Rav Ada Bar Ava's ingenious way of explaining the Mishnah with these four factors, now I understand the relevance of what they taught me. That is pshat number one. So that's the pshat. Good. Now, says the Gemara, we'll just finish. Says the Gemara, U'middekom mitaritz Rav Ada Bar Ava libed Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, the third thing which we said was that everyone holds a Rabbi Yehuda. What was Rabbi Yehuda? You are Madlik B'Kalim, you're not Madlik B'Shever Kalim. So from the fact that Rav Ada Bar Ava incorporated the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda in explaining our Mishnah, it's like the Gemara in the commentaries of Ada Bar Ava, Ali B'Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Minach, Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, Vaistois, Rav Ada Bar Ava, he holds, like Rabbi Yehuda Legabe Mukta, that once something is noilad on Yom Tov, you can no longer use it. Says the bottom Rashi, Umidakam Mitaritz Milsa Bapin Ashi, this is already a new thing. Bitmia, Lemir Meder of Adab Adar of Ada, meaning Midakam Mitaritz Lamasnees and Ukidakuliam Islu Ein Masikim Mishvarim, the Hainu Ali B'Rabbi Yehuda, the Isli Noilad, Shmami No Vaistois, the Rav Ada Bar Ava holds like Rabbi Yehuda. And that, says the Gemara, that's going to be a problem. Again, with the commandarits, Rav Ada Bar Ava, Libet Rabbi Yehuda, Shema Menach Rabbi Yehuda Svirle, Omiyam Rav Ada Bar Ava, Hachi, does he hold like Rabbi Yehuda? V'om Rav Ada Bar Ava, Nachri, Shechokak, Kav, Bibakas. What's the case? You've got a piece of wood, a non-Jew comes along and cuts out an area in this stump of wood, Nachri Shechokak Kav Bebakas, the din is Yisrael Masika Biyomtov. The Yisrael is allowed to pick this up, and he's allowed to toss it in the fire. Vamai Noilad Hu, and why are you allowed to do that? I, according to you, Rav Ada Bar Ava, that you follow the teaching of Rav Yehuda Legabi Mukta Legabi Noilad, you shouldn't be able to do that because you're not able to be madlik with Shivri Kalim or something which was Nishtana and was Nolad on Yom Tov. So why are you allowed to do this? So this is a steer in Rav Ada Bar Ava. And to the Gemara name, Lidivrayim de Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Kiva Ka'amale Valele Sphirale. Pirish, we'll see Rashi in a second. Pirish, that Rav Ada bar Ava saw. I've got a machlekes here between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva. And the only way I'm going to be able to be in the ash of this machlekes as to whether or not Madlikin or Ein Madlikin is if I incorporate the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who says Ein Madlikin b'shivrei kelim. I myself, I hold like Rabbi Shimon, that he doesn't hold of this type of muktzah. But I'm going to be forced to say that in Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva, they must hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi says, L'divrayim de Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Kiva ka'amar. Meaning, ha de ukim lehu ravada, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, de chaza pluktayu, de le mitukma, ela aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning the machlekes only makes sense in the world of Rabbi Yehuda. He himself would hold like Rabbi Shimon. So really we're sticking with this explanation. This is the way that we're going to explain the machlekes Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah as to whether or not you can or cannot light. And it's quite an intricate, ingenious way of doing so with four factors which everyone agrees to. These are all givens. And then the Nekudas HaMachlekes is whether or not Kippul is Moyol to be Mafkia, the Teras Beged, or not. The Gemara now in the next answer, let's just see if we can get to the two dots. The Gemara in the next answer gives, in my mind, a much simpler answer. Yesh La'ayin, what is the Nekudas HaMachlekes between Rav Ada bar Ava and Rava? Rava says, Hainu time of the Rebbe Eliezer, Lefisha Ein Madlikin Bepsila, She'ena mechureches, v'le b'smartutin, she'enan mechurochin. Says Rashi, time of the Rebbe Eliezer, v'hadlaka, mishum de'ein madlikin boy, she'en dolkin yafe. It simply doesn't light well. U b'chol shabsis hashana osir, v'lad mishum noilad. Meaning, presumably, a much simpler explanation. You want to know the machlekes, the nekudas machlekes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva? Simple. If you take a wick, you take a piece of linen, and you ravel it, you make it into a wick, and you don't singe it, will it light well? Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't light well. Now, it could be that the reason why Rav Ada bar Ava did not like this is like we said before, because then it comes out a little bit of a machlekes in Metzius. Of course, we'll be able to get out of it, like one always does, and say, you know, out of 1 to 10, you know, it's a 7 out of 10 as its ability to light. And Rabbi Eliezer says 7 out of 10 is not good enough, and Rabbi Kiva says it is good enough. But at the end of the day, it's not such a lamdish machlokes, and maybe that's the reason why Rabbi Ada bar Ava didn't like it, and therefore he needed to come up with a much more elaborate, seemingly more difficult, complicated ukimta. Because he held it wasn't satisfactory to learn like Rava, because then it's a little bit more of a machlekes and metzias. Al kopanim, according to Rava, that's the way we will explain the machlekes. So again, Rava Amar Hainu Tam B'Rav Eliezer Lefi She'ein Madlikin Mepsila She'ein Mechureches Levi Smartin She'ein Mechurechet. Says the Gemara, Alahadu Tani Rav Yosef, that which Rav Yosef taught, Kimel Al Gemar Mitzum Tzomis L'may Hilchasa. So in the pshat of Rav Ada bar Ava, it was very gishmak. All of a sudden it lights up, says Rabbi Yosef. Now I understand what my Rebbe has taught me, that it's Dafke Gimel Gimel. But according to Rava's pshat, now how is Rava going to justify what Rabbi Yosef was makabel mir Rabbi Yosef, that there's some special significance in this sugya of Gimel Al Gimel? So what is that? Why is that germane? What's the relevance of that? Says the Gemara le'inyan tuma. It's coming to teach me a different din. Legabi tuma. What's this din? Le'inyan tuma. Disnan. The Mishnah says in Kalim, Gimel al gimel she'amru chutz min hamalal divrei Rabbi Shimon. Meaning that which we say, that gimel al gimel at spais is the minimum shir legabi tuma, that is with the exception of that which is necessary when a person makes a patch. We say gimel gimel is the minimum shear. But what you need to do is you need to make a seam. So you need a little bit of material to be able to make a seam to sew that down. So says Rabbi Shimon that Gimel al Gimel Sha'amru is with the exception of the additional material needed to make a seam. I need to have a patch, which is Gimel al Gimel, besides the seam material. The Chachamim Oimrim, Gimel al Gimel Mechuvanais, you don't need that. You don't need that. So what we're saying over here is, in our sugya, which spoke about Gimel al Gimel, the Brais of Rabbi Yosef, when he was taught Gimel al Gimel, it was just to teach me, not like Rabbi Shimon, you don't need an additional material which is necessary to make it a seam. All you need is exactly Gimel al Gimel. Let's just see the Rashi. Chutz min ha-malal, derech tefri begadim, lim lol min ha-begadim l'koflan. You would double it over. Ma'at saviv ha-tfira v'achakach tefer. And the Gimel al-Gimel, seifa litfar, letlai v'beged. You could use it as a patch for an ani. Lachain achshavu aliyez kli. Therefore, it's got a cheshivas of kli. Hilkach tzach liyez b'yez mishir ha-malal. It needs to be a little bit more than that which is necessary. Kadeshi ha-tloi, so that the finished product will be Gimel al-Gimel. Whereas the Chacham say it can be exactly Gimel al Gimel, Mechuvanes, Mitzimtzames, Ubahachach Shavua, Afel Gav, Dikisha Yitfar, Lehavi Shalish, even though when you end up sewing it, it's going to be a little bit less, Vahaino Achter Rabbi Yosef. And that's what Rabbi Yosef was referring to, Vahav Mishim de Ihavi Tfe Le Mitzhama. It didn't mean because if it's more than that, it's not Tame. All the more so. He was just coming to Lafuki from Rabbi Shimon, who says you need to have a bit more material than Gimel al Gimel. Kamash Malan, you do not. We will stop here and.